The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of league football and get ready for even more European action. Celtic stay 2 points clear after a win at St Johnstone, but could now be without Jota as well as Callum McGregor for RB Leipzig. Antonio Colak keeps banging in the goals for Rangers, who now have Liverpool in their sights. And there were big wins for Dundee United, Hibs and Ross County as Scotland learn their Euro qualification opposition. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy alongside Roger Hanna.
Quite the weekend, Gordon. 4-0 for Rangers, 4-0 for Dundee United, a last minute winner for Celtic, a last minute draw for Hearts, and narrow wins, but big wins for Hibs and Ross County. And now we've got a little matter of Celtic versus Leipzig, Rangers versus Liverpool, Fiorentina versus Hearts. It just never stops.
Yeah, Jim Duffy, you have to embrace the madness at this point in the season because it's great. We've got so many talking points on a Monday, and usually we spend all a Monday going over the weekend stuff. But this time tomorrow, Celtic Park will be filling up ahead of the visit of Leipzig. Liverpool are coming to the city. And as Roger says, you've even got a trip to Florence if you're a Hearts fan. So it's all happening.
As in 4 or 5 weeks ago, Gordon, you know, people thought that the league would be could be over. You know, but the fact is that Rangers have gone a really good domestic run. Celtic are not firing all cylinders, but managed to get a fantastic last minute victory. And just confirms the Celtic motto under Ange Postecoglou is we never stop.
0141-951-1025. That's the number you need. So come on down. Let us know what you made of the weekend's big talking points. If we're going through them chronologically, Celtic fans, you got your late winner. How was it? Is it something that you enjoy? Do you like that notion of that's what champions do, and you need wins like that to get you towards a title? Or has there been a drop off in performance levels? What do you put the missed chances down to? And with a view forward, it looks like there's a serious doubt. Well, there is a serious doubt over Jota for tomorrow. How big a blow would that be? And who should take his place? Pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, we're almost back where we were last Monday, where you come off the back of Antonio Colak scoring twice in the league, but still asking if he keeps his place for a game against Liverpool. So we'll build up to that one as well, and all the weekend's big talking points, whatever it is that's out there. 0141 951 1025. What was your result of the weekend, Roger?
Result of the weekend, I think, has to be Dundee United 4 Aberdeen 0. We went off air after the show and the game was just kicking off, and I'd actually forgotten, I can say I'd forgotten all about it, but I went to check my phone at one point and they were 3-0 up, and I thought, what is going on here? And then you see the highlights of the game and you think again, what was going on there?
I did the exact same. Went straight to a wedding after the show and then eventually checked my phone. You know, one of them you're sort of refreshing as if, am I reading this correctly? So yeah, I can understand that one. Result of the weekend for you, Jim?
Yeah, again, as I said, as Roger says, I think Dundee United got it behind anyone's list, but you know, I think that also Ross County, and I think for away to Livingston, these are not, you know, the teams that everyone's waxing lyrical about, but when you've just been absolutely humped 5-0 at home to Motherwell, you're getting an awful lot of criticism, and the kind of aspect of having to lift yourself and go to a really difficult venue at Livingston, and you also got a clean sheet. I think Malcolm Mackay must be absolutely thrilled. It was a bit of a smash and grab, but nevertheless, these are the kind of results that could be pivotal come the end of the season.
Okay, goal of the weekend for you, Jim?
Goal of the weekend, I think that it's got to be Atkinson's yesterday. I think it's his weaker foot, I'm sure it is. His left foot, I think he's right footed. But anyway, it comes out the sky. It's the last minute. It's one of those ones where he couldn't have had it any sweeter, and it's absolutely flew into the top corner. And to get a point as well, absolutely magnificent goal.
Rog?
I'm going to go for Antonio Colak's second goal. His first one was great, sniffing, by a centre forward, and Barisic's shot came back off the post. But the second goal had a bit more to it. Lovely finish across Trevor Carson inside the far post.
Okay, right, this is where it gets a bit more fun. No disrespect to the good people who've got awards before. Your howler of the weekend, Jim Duffy.
Oh, listen, there was a couple of howlers, but, you know, listen, we all know he's been phenomenal, not just for Hearts, but also for Scotland. But Craig Gordon has to get it. He just trips over his own foot, his feet, and stumbles, and obviously it leads to the goal, you know. And I think, as I said, it's one of those things, you'll probably blame the artificial surface, just, you know, for whatever reason. But it was quite comical, not for Craig, but for all of us watching. I'm afraid it was comical.
Unforgiving, who'd be a goalie, Roger?
You know something, Jim? Last Monday in the show, we did the howler, and Josip Juranovic didn't get a mention. But, you know, the chest back to Joe Harton goes in for the own goal. This week, you could make a case for Ross McCrory at Aberdeen, concedes the penalty, and then an equally ludicrous own goal. But
you're not giving it to him. He's off the hook.
He's getting off the hook.
Incredible. Ross, if you're listening.
Because the Livingston crossbar beats him to a game almost called off because they think kids get into the Tony Macaroni Stadium overnight swinging in the crossbar. It was all bent when Fraser Wishart appeared at the stadium
for his beveled
Davy Martindale out with a spirit level and some planks of wood, and it just didn't work, and they had to get the goals down and put in the sort of portable goals for the game, and then Ross County scored with a shot off the bar at the other end.
And the plank of wood usually stands next to David Martindale in the dugout as well, doesn't he? Happy Monday if you're listening, Marvin. We'll speak to you later in the week.
He was nowhere to be seen, by the way. He's just like, no,
exactly.
Gaffer, you try and sort
the DIY skills. I don't know if the crossbar's ever got Howler of the Week, but there we are. And very quickly, because
there was also one down south.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was 2 inches high. Was it Wigan?
And they played the
game. And they played the game because.
Did you see this, Roger?
No.
Because they said it was. Well, obviously, it was even because both teams had 45
and yet,
seats. But it's illegal, I think.
Either the winning goal or the final.
It came off the bar.
Barring in. Yeah. And it was 2 inches different height from the other goal. Anyway, so it's not just us.
I think it was Wigan. I'm pretty sure it was Wigan.
Something like that. Yeah. Very quickly, top performer of the weekend.
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before. I gave it to him last week. I'll give it to him again this week. Ryan Porteous.
Very good. Yeah.
Great for Scotland.
I heard he scored an important goal.
Great for Hibs. Scored at Dingwall last week. Clean sheet. Scored against Motherwell. Was even involved in the incident that your man Connor Shields sent off. And another clean sheet as well.
Quickly, Jim, who was it?
I was tempted to give it to Tony Watt because he hadn't been scoring goals, and he scored another one, which was again pivotal in putting Dundee in a very strong position. But I'm going to have to give it to Antonio Kolač again. Two goals. I think that's three games in a row. I think three league games in a row. And he gets a hook, keeps getting the hook when he scored two. So
not playing Champions League.
Yeah, but I think he might be saying to Gianna Van Bronckhorst, could you leave me on, please? I'll try and get a hat trick.
All right, 01419511025. Let's bring in Danny, who's a Celtic fan. From Guruk. Danny, how are you tonight? You all right?
No bad, boys. Thanks very much for taking the call. I phoned on Saturday and I couldn't get through, and obviously you're too busy. And it's just to pick up a couple of things, if you don't mind me putting them across.
Of course, on you go.
Right, Jim, you've managed teams, so you know what I'm talking about as well. Now, Hugh on Saturday mentioned that Celtic have not won in six. Well, we did. We beat Motherwell a couple of weeks ago. And if we're playing like that and winning, we're not playing well. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of players that are up form just now. Big Jagger Maga scored, obviously, 95th minute. But as I say, Jim, you managing teams, see if we win every week, playing like that and winning, still tap the league for 2 points. Hey, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Danny, you know, I think the fact is that the standards have been so high over the last maybe 6-7 months, since the turn of the year in particular, under Ange Postecoglou. And that's the thing, when you set the bar so high and you set the standard so high, winning games, the style of football, it's been terrific. And I think there has been a drop off. So, but yeah, as long as you're still winning matches, but obviously didn't against St Mirren a couple of weeks ago there. Took to the dying seconds to get that result, and obviously in Europe as well. So I think there has been a little bit of a drop off. I wouldn't be overly concerned. The thing that would concern me a little bit is as big a squad that Celtic have, if when Carter Vickers was missing, Callum McGregor's now going to be missing, Jota possibly missing, these are absolutely first names on the sheet. You know, when you're writing your team out, they are absolutely guaranteed, nailed on to be in that team. So when you're losing players of that quality,
there's no debate about those three, are there?
That's got to be disruptive. And And obviously Joe Hart is at a couple of little moments in recent games as well. So I think these are crucial players, and you know, no matter how good a squad you've got, you know, any team would miss that quality.
How important is it to consider chance creation, Roger? Because I'll take this away from Celtic and leave that to Danny and you guys. No matter who it is, I've always felt that when we get these calls on the show along the lines of, ah, we'll see, but if we win ugly every week, we'll win the league. What you find is that teams don't win ugly every week. They just don't. And eventually it is a sign of things to come. If you're stuttering over the line, you stop winning games of football. But if you're creating the chances, is it more likely that it's going to... The law of averages catches up quite quickly. They'll start scoring again, and it won't be such an issue.
Listen, I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, a week before against Motherwell, it was 2-1. But, you know, Motherwell weren't exactly camped in the Celtic penalty box for the last 10 minutes to, you know, make it nervy at Celtic Park. Danny, all teams that win leagues win games like Celtic won on Saturday. You know, I think you mentioned later in the show, Tony Ralston's goal at Dingwall last year, Lila Bade's goal at Celtic Park against Dundee United last year. It's a sign of a good team that they can just keep going, and they can respond from a setback the way Celtic were knocked back when Alec Mitchell scored in 90 plus 3 minutes, and they can still muster themselves, go back up the park and score through Giakoumakis in 90 plus 5 minutes. So I wouldn't be panicking too much about performance levels yet. That was a big win.
Danny, how do you put your finger on what when players aren't taking chances? Like we saw at the weekend, so many chances. Lila Bada had a couple, and others. What do you put that down to?
Well, everybody gets through a blip, and no matter what they do in life. As some of the boys on Saturday say, the hardest job is to score a goal. And go back to your point, Roger. I'm not saying Celtic are going to win the league, because I'm not daft enough to say that. I'll hold my counsel until we get near that time. Long way to go. But we're winning ugly. That's one thing that other team across it, City can't do. They can't score in the 93rd minute, 96th minute. And we are collectively, as a team, not playing well. And that stems to Hart all the way right through to the big guns with Jota, etc. But I'll come to about 4 weeks ago, we were beating teams 9-9. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Jim, yeah. I think none of this is ever totally knee-jerk based on one game. If you take Champions League into it, Motherwell to an extent, but certainly Real Madrid for a large part, definitely Shakhtar Donetsk, definitely the weekend. As a manager, what do you do if people are in the same goal-scoring positions but all of a sudden just don't take the chances? How do you fix that?
Listen, invariably, if a goal scorer's got instinct, you know, and he's instinctively in the right place at the right time, and then it's that composure, then it's that belief that they're going to score goals, and you know, obviously the top guys do it on a more regular basis, but you know, from Celtic's point of view, they're maybe not you know, as fluent and you know, as much creativity. Not creativity, they're still creating, but they're maybe not getting those absolute nailed on goal scoring chances, as Danny said, against like Dundee United you know, a month or so ago. But they are still creating enough to win the games. But I do believe with Danny, I think there's a number of players not quite playing at the same level. I think that, you know, even just 2 or 3 weeks ago, just before the St Mirren game, we're talking about O'Reilly, you know, you're talking about Hatate, you know, Calum, you're talking about all these players. Abada was rattling the goals, Jota was absolutely flying, Kyogo. I don't think any of them are playing quite at that level. They're all 8s and 9s out of 10 now. They're maybe 6, 7. They're still decent, very decent compared to a lot of teams, but not to their levels. And when you've got a good number of that, Gordon, that's the little dilemma that Ange Postecoglou's got to try and solve.
It's interesting, Gordon. That team over there, as Danny refers to them, I presume he's been in Rangers and not Partick Thistle, that can't score in a 90-odd minute. Last two league games have scored 90+4 and 90+1.
And one ugly against Dundee United, which got us a lot of very dramatic phone calls that night. Let's hear a bit from Ange Postecoglou. There's been a significant update today because we all know the Callum McGregor situation. Jota missed training the day before the visit of RB Leipzig. So basic question, Celtic fans, how much does that worry you? How big a blow would that be? And if he doesn't make it, who takes his place? Because he does still have a chance. It will be decided tomorrow. It's a muscle fatigue injury. And Ange Postecoglou says Callum McGregor's Champions League experience will be missed. However, he's looking for other players to step up in his absence. So what do you think, Celtic fans? Who takes Callum McGregor's place? What did you make of the way they went about it at the weekend? And what do you make of this Jota business?
I hope it's not trial and error, mate, because I spend a hell of a lot of time thinking about football and doing what I do, so there's a little bit of methodology that goes into it. But like I said before, you know, I guess with Callum, you know, when we're talking about the things we're talking about, he's one that has that experience at this level, and he knows what's required to win a game, even a Champions League level, and you know, at international level. So he's used to that sort of environment. He thrives in it. Now, you can't replace that, because that you can only learn by experiencing it. So, you know, that's where we're going to have to, you know, just get other guys to hopefully take a leap forward and show that sort of, I guess, experience that maybe doesn't exist right now in that kind of environment. But in terms of our style of play, I still think, you know, we have players within the group that, you know, we can compensate with for missing Callum.
How big a blow would it be to go into that game without Jota, and how much worse is it the fact that Callum McGregor also won't play?
Yeah, losing Callum McGregor is a big setback. They went to St Johnstone, won the game on Saturday, and there wasn't really a like-for-like replacement. Matt O'Reilly sort of dropped in a wee bit deeper than he would normally play. Played well. Hatate played well. Haksabanovic came in to a sort of, you know, for us viewing him, an unusual position, and played well. But St Johnstone at McDermott Park and RB Leipzig at Celtic Park are two very different challenges, Gordon. So I'll be fascinated to see what Ange Postecoglou does tomorrow night. I'll be fascinated to see if Jota is fit to start the game. Came off at half time, muscle fatigue. You know, it's a sort of unusual phrase for a manager to use. So it'll be interesting to see. And if he doesn't make it, what is the sort of makeup of that front six for Celtic? Could you see Kyogo and Giakoumakis together, say with an Abada or a Haksabanovic or a Maeda or a Forrest? And does he feel for a challenge like RB Leipzig that an Abelgaard or a McCarthy or a fit again Turnbull or an Aaron Moy are a better bet in there alongside O'Reilly and Hatate?
We'll answer the man. 01419511025. Celtic fans, how big a blow would it be to be without Jota? Do you think he'll make it? Who would take his place? Who'll take Callum McGregor's place? All the usual questions ahead of a huge Champions League game. And of course, we're looking back on the weekend as well. So Rangers fans, what is the deal with Antonio Colak constantly scoring doubles in the league? It's a nice situation to be in. Will he eventually get some game time from the start in the Champions League as the week progresses? Let us know. 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you next.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna's here, Jim Duffy as well. It's 01419511025, and doing many things at once. Looking back on the weekend's big talking points, so what did you make of your team's performance, whether it was good, bad, or somewhere in the middle? And what about the small matter of these Champions League games? Celtic fans, a big doubt over Jota. How annoying is that for you? Who would you have take his place? You also need someone to take Callum McGregor's place as well. And what about that last gasp win against St Johnstone? A good thing, a sign of champions, or any concerns about the lack of chance taking? Let us know right now. Rangers fans, what about you then? Much more comfortable at the weekend. Some of the fringe players coming in, if you like. Well, not fringe players, but players that didn't play from the start against Liverpool, coming in, making an impact. What did you make of them? Have they done enough to keep their place in the team? 01419511025. Now, I should have said this at the top of the show if I was doing my job properly, but I'm sure you'll know Scotland women's national team take on Republic of Ireland in the World Cup playoffs tomorrow at Hampden. So tomorrow night there could be a place at the World Cup in the bag. Now, every person who makes it on air tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets to the game. We've actually got two pairs to give away, so two callers will win their way to the game, and we'll announce the winners before the end of the show. So if you fancy going to the game on us tomorrow night, pick up the phone and just come on and make a point to the panel. That is all you need to do. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Not a great deal to tell you over there at the moment. Ange Postecoglou says he thinks they will start taking their chances, Celtic, as long as they keep creating them. Says it's much more important to get them and miss them than not be creating them at all.
Yeah, again, I think it's similar to winning games. You know, the more sort of you give yourself an opportunity to score goals, the more likely is you'll get them. A much more difficult problem would be if we weren't creating chances at all, because then you'd be saying, well, you know, with a few chances we have to score. Because ultimately, if you want to win games, you have to score goals. There's no other way of going about it. So if we're creating chances and not taking them, I think the more we consistently do that, eventually we will take our chances. I think we have players in the group who can do that. But, you know, if we weren't creating the chances and we're relying on, you know, one or two opportunities a game, I think that's where it becomes a little bit more, you know, challenging.
So the big news today was that Jota failing to train ahead of Leipzig. Laurie is a Celtic fan on the line. Laurie, how much of a blow would that be for you if he doesn't make it?
Well, I'll be honest with you. As much as he has been very impressive domestically, I really haven't noticed that he's achieved a great deal at European level. So I don't know how much a blow that will be, in all truthfulness. I do think that with the game tomorrow, what I will say after the performance against St Johnstone, that Big Ange, his mantra has been proven. You know, we never stop running.
What do you make, Jim, of... I mean, Leipzig was the game that Jota scored in. Yeah. So I don't know what he's saying. He's not done anything. Mm-hmm. Not done anything in Europe, or not achieved much in Europe, sort of thing. I had also seen that he'd maybe been up Celtic fans phoning in here or tweeting saying he'd been a bit quiet recently. I don't know, how big a blow is it ultimately tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you take any player over a concerted period of time, you know, we are, you know, probably the greatest nation on earth for either judging someone in one game, whether it's good or bad. We go over the top if it's a good game, and, you know, we're really critical if it's a bad game. But I think Jota's performances since he came to Celtic have been sensational. I don't think like Celtic, you know, obviously the away leg against Shakhtar, Celtic played very well, and Jota was a big part of that. But the other games, you know, I don't think there's many Celtic players have played right at the top level, and Jota being among them. But I would still say that he would be absolutely nailed on if he's fit to be in that starting lineup. And I think he'd be crucial as well. I mean, he is, you know, a crowd pleaser. He does lift the fans, but he's such a creative, positive player. And it's one of the hardest jobs to do, and Laurie will know that, being a long-time Celtic fan, is taking risks. It's easy to pass the ball back and square. It's more difficult to go and keep taking opponent time after time and having shots and having crosses. And that creative element is one of the most difficult things to do, not just from a technical point of view, but from the psychological point of view, if it's not quite going your way, to keep trusting yourself and keep trusting your talent to keep going.
It wasn't a particularly important award we were giving out last week, if you can call it that, Roger. It was just a sort of hypothetical. We're talking about Callum McGregor, and if you're judging how big the blow is to be without him, we were asking, you know, is that the last player you'd want to lose if you were Ange Postecoglou? A couple of the pundits said, yeah, it is. And if it's not him, it's either, you know, he's first or second, if you like. And everyone mentioned Carter Vickers and Jota, they three, as being like the if you could wrap anyone in cotton wool and make sure they're always fit, it would be those three. Now, it looks like Celtic may go into a game of this magnitude without two of them. Big squad, yes. Other players waiting in the wings, yes. But it's hardly ideal, is it?
No, listen, the manager admitted as much on Friday, Gordon, when he said it would take two or three players to replace Callum McGregor. In fact, he's irreplaceable, he said. So that tells you that, you know, you're right to think along those lines. Having Carter Vickers back was hugely important to Celtic. They just don't look as solid defensively without him. Doesn't matter who's there, whether it's Starfelt or Welsh or Jens or whoever, Carter Vickers has emerged really as the mainstay of that Celtic back four, and having him back is a major bonus. But losing Jota would be a setback. I know the point Laurie makes, but you know he did score last week. And when you see, you know, for me, Maeda is a bit out of form. Forrest hasn't been seen too often. Haksabanovic was seen in a different position at the weekend. Abada missed out last midweek and then missed a big chance at Perth at the weekend. So going into a game of such importance, and it is a game of such importance because if Celtic are to progress from this group, Gordon, they will need back-to-back home wins against Leipzig and Shakhtar Donetsk. Going in without Jota would be a blow.
Laurie, like many, floated the idea that there needs to be something different in the style from domestic to Europe. Ange Postecoglou simply doesn't do that. Jim, we're used to this by now. With that in mind, did we learn anything about Callum McGregor's successor for tomorrow night at the weekend? As Roger says, they actually just played another attacker and just sort of shuffled things around. Would he do that again tomorrow?
No, I don't think he can afford to do that because Leipzig were terrific going forward. They looked very susceptible defensively. Gordon, you know, Celtic, in particular in the first half, created a good number of chances, and when they pressed them, they looked nervy, they gave the ball away. But the likes of Nkunku and Silva, their full-backs, Rom and Simica, you know, getting forward all the time, they were very progressive in the final third and looked a real threat at times. Pace, you know, they've got talented players, and so I think Celtic have to be secured defensively. We know the atmosphere at Celtic Park will drive the team on, will give them that extra yard in terms of energy. But sometimes that kind of, you know, overriding aspect to attack can leave yourself exposed. So yeah. Celtic, for me, whether it's Abigard and McCarthy possibly, with two sitting midfielders and just giving that a wee bit of extra protection with O'Reilly there and maybe leaving out Hatate. You know, obviously they'll still get the decision to make if Jota's fit or not. But I think they need to put it at least one, but preferably two sitting midfield players. And they still leaves them four attackers plus a fullback to go and support. Yep. But they can't leave themselves as exposed as they did in the second half against Leipzig.
What do you think, Celtic fans? Who gets the nod to replace Callum McGregor? If Jota is missing, how big a blow is that? Who would replace him? All of these types of questions ahead of tomorrow. And if you're looking back on the weekend, you can do that as well. Thank you to Laurie, 01419511025. Now let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He says he's delighted with Antonio Colak's form so far. He's got 13 goals in all competitions. He keeps getting doubles in the league. Morelos has played the last couple of Champions League games, but the manager's happy with what he's seeing.
Of course, we wanted him to have a good start because we I was happy that we had him really early in pre-season because we knew, of course, Morelos wasn't ready for the beginning of the campaign. And, of course, with the Champions League qualifiers already really early in the season, I think he had to perform really well from the beginning, which he did. And I'm very happy with his performances. And, all he has to do now is keep continuing and keep giving the team the performances he did today.
Stephen is a Rangers fan on the line. Stephen, I like to be original. Don't like to repeat myself if possible, but it's pretty tough because every week Antonio Colak seems to be scoring twice in the league and then he doesn't necessarily play at the week in the Champions League and we sort of keep going over it. Is it different this week?
Gordon, hi Gordon, and the panel. Gordon, it simply has to be. It's clearly evident that Wee Morelos isn't even, he's nowhere near match fit. Even in Saturday there when he came on, he was struggling to get to 50-50 balls. And for me, Colak's is razor sharp. And Jim will tell you, being a manager, every manager keeps telling you the same thing. If someone's on for him, it's very hard to drop them. Yet our manager seems to do that. Except this time, the only chance Rangers have got, if they have any chance at all, Liverpool are certainly shipping goals, and I know that's against supposed to be far higher calibre opposition, I get that. But the fact is, Rangers are at Ibrox in front of their massive fan base. He simply has to have a go at them, and there's nobody better than now than Colak. The guy's banging in form, and scoring goals for fun. And the other wee guy, Gordon, for me, he simply has to start him on the right. It's been a problem position for us. He has to start with Sakala. I don't see him dropping Kent, I need to be honest. But weak Sakala's got to play on the wing. The guy was exceptional at the weekend.
Roger, you take the Colak point.
Yeah, and if I am Antonio Colak, and I've scored two against Dundee United, and I've scored two against Hearts, and I've scored two against St Mirren, I'd be getting a bit peeved if I kept getting left out for the big glamorous European games. And there's no more glamorous European game than Liverpool at Ibrox. So I think the manager needs to be fair to his top scorer and start him against Liverpool.
Also, you always hear the word narrative and how it can set in. And by the way, this has come from, I think, Rangers fans as well, and maybe outsiders. This notion, and it's set in very quickly, that, ah yeah, but Antonio Chol, you know, he's just a poacher, or he's just a penalty box striker. I wonder if that's even fair. One of you gave him,
yeah, I gave him the second goal. Yeah,
wasn't a poacher's goal. It wasn't the goal of somebody who just stands there and knocks rebounds into the net. Yeah, he showed that striker's instinct with the first one. And yes, of course, he maybe doesn't hustle and bustle and try to bully centre backs the way Morelos does. But have we already, a couple of weeks into this guy's career, maybe unfairly labelled him as well?
No, I'm not too sure about that, Gordon, to be honest. I think Rangers supporters probably appreciate what he's brought to the team this season, and you wonder where Rangers would be domestically without his goals this season. I think they do value him. I think, you know, we had a lot of calls last Monday, which surprised me. People saying they wanted Morelos, Rangers fans saying they wanted Morelos to start at Anfield.
More than a lot of calls, every caller who phoned
and
in Morelos ahead
did,
of the game.
And he didn't lay a glove on Liverpool. So I think it's now, I do think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst owes it to Colak to give him a start. And I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst owes it to the Rangers fans to name a team on Wednesday night that's going to have a go at Liverpool. Now, it doesn't guarantee you anything. You could still lose 2-0 like you did last week. You could maybe lose 3-0 or 4-0 or 4-1 or whatever. But I just think, as Stephen says, a Sakala one side, Kent the other side, Colak through the middle, and have a go.
Yeah, they will have a go. There's no doubt about it. And Colak will play. But I must admit, taking the Liverpool game the last time round, I had no issue with Morelos playing. In theory, you know, he knew he wouldn't have too much possession. And he's thinking, when we release the ball, we'll be under pressure. We need somebody to hold it up. And that's Morelos, one of Morelos' strengths. It didn't work out. It didn't work out.
And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it?
The lead up to the game as a manager, that's what you'd be thinking, Gordon.
It's not so much about looking back now and saying those were mistakes. It's about, can you do that again? Because with every game that Colak scores twice, it becomes harder to do.
Oh no, surely. That's what I'm saying. You know, this time round, absolutely, Colak will play, and Stephen saying he's looking Sakala to play. That might happen as well. I'm with Roger. Rangers are currently out the group at this stage with no chance of staying in Europe. The only way they can do that is be throwing everything at it. I would have liked to have thought this was the one opportunity that he could change his system and go 4-4-2 and play Morelos and Colak. I don't think it will happen, but I think this is the one time it could, and then have a little bit of a more of a narrower midfield. So say you've got Jack Lundstrom and say Arfield with either Kent, if he's wanting to play him, if he's not, although he's not in top form, or Sakala, and still have that security midfield. But then have a go, because Liverpool, as Stephen said, doesn't matter who they're playing, they're leaking goals. They are leaking goals. They're fragile at the back.
What about that, Stephen? Because maybe we learned a lesson about last week. We had a lot of talk about maybe Liverpool were there for the taking, and we learned that clearly they're still very good. But they did lose again at the weekend. Yes, Arsenal are a top side at the moment. But does it give you even a slight hint that Rangers might be able to find some success if they go for it?
Absolutely, Gordon. As the guys have said, Roger and Jim, if our manager plays we kind of struggle a bit in midfield when it comes to legs and pace. But if he plays with Lindstrom, Jack, and listen, ideally, I think a lot of fans would love to see Colak playing up front along with Morelos. Our manager's made it perfectly clear he's not going to do that. So you've got to play with guys that have got pace, and there's nobody better. If Kent gets on, if Kent wants a way at all, and he's coming to end his contract, surely to goodness, these are the games he's wanting to try and play. Wee Sakala, for me, was easily man of the match on Saturday. He runs his tails off every time he's on the park, and he's not had a lot of time under Gio. But on Saturday there, especially in the second half, for a guy that's not been getting a lot of games, he was clearly trying to impress his manager, to which he did. So for me, if you're going to have a go at them, you've got to run at them with pace. And with that crowd behind us, I'm perfectly sure we can cause some bother. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Jim, we'll leave it there. We're a bit late for this break. Thank you very much, though, to Stephen. He goes into the hat as well. Remember, every caller who makes it on air into the hat, we're two pair of tickets to give away to Scotland Women's World Cup playoff against Ireland tomorrow night. We will take more of your calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ah, Monday night, even busier than they used to be. We used to spend Monday nights arguing about refereeing decisions that had taken place at the weekend. Now it's all about the Champions League. We've changed, Roger Hanna.
Yeah, we have.
Still time to argue about refs.
Was there no St Mirren fans then phoning in? Because there was definitely never a penalty against Rangers for Declan Gallagher.
Perhaps. I'm sure there would be some others out there as well. There's always something doing. But understandably, it's exciting to look forward to Champions League games as well. Just before the break, we had a Rangers fan on saying Colak needs to play, Sakala needs to play. Here's what the manager makes of Sakala at the moment after the weekend.
Well, I'm really happy because the more options, the better for me. Fashion, you know, he had some really good subs, you know, especially in midweek. He came in really well against Hearts as well. So, you know, we wanted to give him the chance to play from the beginning. And I think he was really good. You know, he did what we expected. And, you know, if you use your speed, you know, I think the biggest improvement we have is that we are able now to use the speed we have up front, and that in the last couple of weeks, you know, we didn't do that as well as we did the last couple of games against Hearts and today, and it makes it so much easier for the team when there is threat always up front. And I think of both wingers today, and even with the change with Ryan, we had that.
Right, Graham, Rangers fan on the line, talk to us. What about the weekend? How does that how does it influence anything going forward to the Liverpool game?
Well, I think Colak plays, mate. I thought last week that Mariella should have played, but I think by Colak's earned his right to play tomorrow. But I'd like to ask Jim something. Jim, see when Rangers play tomorrow on Wednesday, is it think of an in-between thing we can do rather than go for it and go all out attack? And rather than do what we've done last week, sit in and invite them on, is there somewhere in between they could play, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that concern, no concern, that consideration, Graham. But I think when you're at Ibrox, you've been there at these type of game, you know, the lead up to the game, when the Champions League music comes in, you know, everyone is just, the adrenaline is absolutely pumping through the veins. Very difficult to put the brakes on and say, right, this is how we're going to play this controlled game. So I think the first 15-20 minutes, I would expect Rangers to get really after Liverpool. You've got to be a wee bit careful, of course, with the quality that Liverpool have got, you know, on the counter. But for me, I think the first 15-20, then the game might settle down. That's when, as you say, you might get that kind of in between, because you're then thinking, right, okay, we're in the game, it's maybe 0-0 or whatever it happens to be. Let's just pick our moments. But I think we just heard Giovanni speaking there and talking about the pace. And if you look, the one thing that Liverpool really plays a really high line and space is in behind their fullbacks. It doesn't look as if Trent Alexander's going to play, if Trent Alexander-Arnold's going to play, Andy Robertson's not playing, and natural fullbacks, there's definitely spaces in those areas, and that's where you could exploit them with the pace. So for me, you get the Barman trite, but I think the first 15-20 minutes, Rangers have to set the tone and really get after Liverpool, because there's no doubt Liverpool are not the same team they were a year ago, 18 months ago.
Where is the balance, Roger? Because we can't fall into the same trap as exactly a week ago, saying, ah, Liverpool are busted flush, they're not the team they used to be. And then you just see how comfortable they were within the game. So where's the line? Because they obviously aren't as good as they were, clearly. The English Premier League table tells you that. Your own eyes tell you that when you watch them. Where's the balance that Graham's looking for?
It's certainly more offensive than Rangers were last week. The 5-4-1 last week didn't do anything, and it certainly didn't do anything for the Rangers support who were down there watching it. So I think they need to roll up the sleeves. They're not going to be, you know, cavalier from the first whistle. There's not going to be bugles sounding in the Copeland Road, you know, demanding Rangers simply charge at Liverpool defence. That's unrealistic. But as Jim says, you know, earlier on, they do need to be more positive. You know, the previous caller, Stephen, was calling for Colak to play. Yep, I'd have that. Sakala to play. Yep, definitely. Whether it's Kent or whether it's Matondo on the other side, but you know, it needs to be the 4-3-3 or the 4-2-3-1 rather than a back five, the fans will get behind them if they show signs of attacking intent in the, you know, those early exchanges, and that's what they need to do.
Does that include Fashion Sakala, Graham?
The problem with Sakala is he's either really good or really rotten. Like I say, Saturday was excellent, but you see in my other games it doesn't look much. But what about the boy Scott Wright? He's got a bit of pace about him.
Yeah, I mean he's played European games for sure, Jim. You have to imagine Sakala is just ahead in the pecking order based on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's always I said earlier on, we're one for instant judgment. You play well against it, man, at home. You're totally dominant of the ball with the ball and on the front foot. So therefore, Sakala's got less defensive duties to do, whereas he may well have a little bit more to do. So as he switched on enough in that element, can the manager trust him to get himself into back into defensive positions required? Whereas Scott Wright, you maybe see a similar sort of, you know, but he's got a little bit more, I think, of that knowledge.
Sometimes very good, sometimes very rotten, or something along those lines was the assessment of Fashion Sakala. A bit like the pundits in here, to be honest, Graham. But thank you for taking the time. Let's squeeze one more in. Paul is a St Mirren fan now. I've got a decision to make. I can either pretend that he answered your call, Jim Duffy, and he stepped up to the plate, or admit the truth and that I think he had already called in before you mentioned it. But anyway, Paul, as a St Mirren fan, what did you make of the weekend? What did you take away from it?
Well, can I just say before I get to my point, the only way Rangers will get balance on Wednesday is if they have a Nick Walsh or an Andrew Dallas on the park.
Oh, see, I knew it, Paul. I knew it would be annoying you, so you're not having that penalty?
No. Well, it's not just that penalty. I read a tweet yesterday that St Mirren have, in the last 10 visits, have not conceded. Rangers have been awarded 9 penalties in 10 visits. Now, you can look at the 4 penalties of Andrew Dallas. We all saw them. None of them were penalties.
None of them?
No, 4 penalties against Rangers. None of them were penalties at all. They reviewed them. You should have got one penalty that wasn't given.
Who reviewed them?
There was 4 penalties given under Andrew Dallas. 2 were outside the box and the other 2 were dives.
Wow, I remember the day, obviously. I mean, I don't know how much we'll be able to go over those 4 incidents from 3-4 years ago. I can't remember them. I would be surprised if all 4 were 100% mistakes, but Paul may be right. He remembers them better than us.
Well, here's the beauty. We won't have to worry about this for too much longer, because VAR is coming to the SPFL, and as we've seen from the VAR down south, and never gets anything wrong.
Just for a couple of reasons, Paul. I mean, partly my own sanity and partly because it's already 5 to 7 and I'm running a bit late. Let's limit ourselves to this one, if you can, rather than the ones previously. No chance for you. That should have been a penalty at the weekend, I take it.
I was at the game. It was never a penalty. Gallagher gets to the ball first. The ball's clearly going away. The Rangers player falls over the ball. Nobody in the stadium is appealing for a penalty. Nick Walsh gives that. It's an absolute joke of a decision. And normally what I would say is that the Rangers fans get on your back. The atmosphere at Ibrox can sometimes be intense. But what happened there is Nick Walsh saw that. Nobody else thought that was a penalty, and he gave that. And I just don't understand how he gets to that conclusion.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Roger, because whether people claim or not, that doesn't guarantee anything either way. But as Paul says, just to quickly stick up for opposition fans who go there, you tend to hear a lot when the home fans want something, when they want a decision. Yeah. Like, I don't know how much that matters in your assessment of the incident, so forget the noise, you wouldn't have heard it. Has Paul got a case for St Mirren hard done by?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a penalty kick, to be honest with you. He does sort of lunge in, but he does win the ball, I think. Nick Walsh, a decent distance away from it as well. Referees will say they're not influenced by crowd noise. Of course they are. Which made it all the more surprising he actually gave it in this instance. But in St Mirren's defence, when I saw the highlights, they did well. Alan McGregor had to make a good few saves. They've hit the woodwork from Curtis Main. They're going very well. And you might have heard, they beat Celtic a couple of weeks ago. They've just played Rangers. They now have a run of fixtures that I think they can pick up points in. And they're already in fourth place in the Premiership table. Could be a good run for St Mirren before the World Cup break.
Quickly, Jim, we will never know. You just can't. What impact it would have had in the game if any Rangers won by a very convincing scoreline, which might suggest that it wouldn't have made much difference. But other people would say, ah, but at that moment in the game and all the rest of it. So
no, it does change the complexion of the game. You know, if you go for 2-0 down, you know what I mean? It knocks your stuff out, you gives the other team belief, gets the fans all behind them, all that sort of thing. So, no, it was never a penalty. I thought it was a perfectly timed tackle by Declan Gallagher. He's anticipated. And I think it was Cholak, it fell over the top of him. I think the referee got it absolutely 100% wrong.
Because Roger says, well, VAR sin, we won't need to worry too much. Thank you to Paul. If it cheers you up, Paul, you're into the hat for the tickets to the Scotland Women's National Team World Cup playoff against Republic of Ireland tomorrow, as well as everyone who phones in tonight and makes a point will be. It's already that time. Quick first hour. Let me get this up and running.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ah, clean slate on Beat the Pundit. Let's see what a new week can bring. If you want to take on Jim Duffy or Roger Hannah, you need to call before 7 o'clock. And I've not left you much time. 01419511025. And we'll play next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. And remember, every caller who makes it through to speak to the guys tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets. We're giving away two pairs to Scotland Women's game against Ireland tomorrow at Hampden. It's a World Cup playoff. Now, don't get me wrong, it is an extremely difficult and confusing playoff process. Mm-hmm. But in theory, if they win tomorrow, they could be off to the World Cup. So a great night of celebration if it goes to plan. And like I say, as long as you get on air to make a point to the guys, you'll win the hat to be along there. So pick up that phone. We've been talking Jota's injury. We've been talking Celtic's late winner at the weekend. Leipzig tomorrow. Rangers, Cholak keeps scoring in the league. Will he get the nod in the Champions League? Fashion Sakala, all the rest of it. And more still to come. So 01419511025. Always find time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hey, Beat the Pundit time. I think we finished with a Pundit victory on Friday, was it? Kenny Miller tiebreak, I believe. So let's see if we can get the week off to a winning start with Andrew, who's from Glasgow but in Carlisle. How's it going, Andrew?
I'm not bad, thanks.
Have you ever played before, Andrew?
No, first time
for. Good. So what is this? You're in Carlisle and this is some sort of sound of home for you?
Basically, I always listen to it on the app when I'm diving in and wanting to play, but this is my first time actually phoning
good.
Up.
Well, I'm glad you've done it, right? If it heads, it will be Roger Hanna. Tails, it will be Jim Duffy. You've not played in a while, Roger, have
no,
you?
No.
I didn't think so. Heads, it will be Roger. Tails, Jim. Your weight goes on, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Tails, yeah, Jim Duffy against Andrew from Glasgow in Carlisle. So we'll give you some Clyde 2 to listen to, Jim, just so that you can't hear us. We'll put that nice and loud in his ear, Andrew. I'll put 30 seconds on the clock and just basically answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
No problem, Jim.
Right, let's go then. Your time starts now. Who was fouled for Rangers' penalty on Saturday?
Morelos.
Name the last side Celtic faced in the knockout round of the Champions League in 2013.
Copenhagen.
Name either Scottish Premiership side that Ross Callaghan played for before Ross County.
Motherwell.
Name any team in Scotland's qualification group apart from Spain or Norway.
Pass.
Which Scottish League 2 team play their home games in Coatbridge?
Albion Rovers.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock, you ready?
Yep.
Who was fouled for Rangers' penalty on Saturday?
Kolač.
And name the last side Celtic faced in the knockout round of the Champions League in 2013.
Barcelona.
Name either Scottish Premiership side that Ross Callaghan played with before Ross County.
Hearts.
Name any team in Scotland's qualification group apart from Spain or Norway.
Cyprus.
Which Scottish League 2 team play their home games in Coatbridge?
Albion Rovers.
Who scored a brace in the only Old Firm match of the season so far?
Kyogo.
Okay, Andrew, how did it go?
Not very well.
Not very well, he says. He always plays in the car, driving down. It's harder in person. It was Cholak that was fouled. Although I can hear Paul, the St Mirren fans, shouting at his roots. If you listen carefully, saying he wasn't fouled. No. You know what I mean, though. The alleged foul in Paul's mind was on Antonio Cholak. So 1-0 to Jim. 2013 Champions League knockout round.
Was it Zenit?
No, it was Juventus.
Oh, Juventus.
Yeah. Is that not? Yeah. Tony Watt, Barcelona, through to play Juve, yeah. So 1-0 to Jim at this point. Ross Callaghan played for either St Johnston or Hearts before Ross County. So it goes 2-0.
I was thinking the Hamel, but they were not.
Yeah, it goes 2-0 to Jim Duffy. Getting a bit worried for you at this point, Andrew.
It's not looking good, is it?
A defeat I can handle, but I don't like a zero. I don't like zeros. I like to be a bit more generous to the listeners. Name any team in Scotland's group apart from Spain or Norway. I don't know who we've upset to get draws like this, but there we are. Spain and all they bring, Erling Haaland and Norway, Georgia or Cyprus would be the others. So it's 3-0 Jim Duffy. And you did save some face, Andrew. You at least knew your Coatbridge knowledge. Albion Rovers play there, so you got one on the board, but unfortunately Jim Duffy get four. Hard lines, Andrew. The next question is, will Celtic do better than that tomorrow? I know you're a Celtic fan. How do you feel about the game?
They've got to do better than that, surely. But I don't know. It's a hard one with Callum McGregor being out. I think that'll be a big miss.
Yeah, I mean, we've been hearing Ange Postecoglou saying Jota could be missing as well. How big a blow is that one?
I don't think it's as bad as McGregor. He doesn't offer as much in Europe, I don't think, compared to domestically. But I'd be more worried about McGregor than I was Jota.
Oh, by the way, on that, here's the seamless transition to cover up my mistake. We're talking about Celtic's wingers. It was Lila Bada who got the brace in the Old Firm game. We didn't get that far. So there we go. Andrew says it's not as big a blow to miss Jota, which, fine, you can look at that any way you want, because it just means that maybe Callum McGregor's huge miss and Jota somewhere behind that. Who takes his place? Go like for like, Haksabanovic, Maeda?
I think Maeda will play in the left. Just if Jota's not finished, just because I say that he works so hard, and obviously Simica, the fullback, he was terrific getting forward, so I think Maeda will match him. Haksabanovic, you know, possibly it could be a bad on Kyogo, but well, Giannoumakis, you're talking about Colac scoring, there's Giannoumakis, he's got to be full of confidence scoring the dying seconds winner again, so would he be an option?
Roger, the weird one about the timing for this is it feels like Haksabanovic already got the nod away to Shakhtar Donetsk. He then was probably one of Celtic's bright sparks at the weekend, but Lila Bada wasn't available for religious reasons for the trip to Leipzig, and he comes back in, so it will be interesting in that area to see who gets the
nod. Fascinating, and I know what Jim means about playing the sort of double pivot, whether it's Abel Gardner, McCarthy, or whether it's Moy and O'Reilly or whatever. I'm not sure Ange will see it like that. He might see it that this is a must win for Celtic. He will have ambitions still of the last 16. You mentioned Juventus there during the quiz, the last time Celtic got beyond the group stage in Europe 9 years ago. He will fancy they can beat Leipzig and Shakhtar. As he said in his own audio, to do that they need to score goals. Wouldn't surprise me if it's Hatate, O'Reilly and Haksabanovic, maybe Abada, Giacomakis. Did you see Kyogo in a wider role?
Andrew, do you fancy Celtic tomorrow? I feel like the confidence was sky high a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know, maybe not quite as high from some of our callers now. How do you feel?
I don't know. I'm more hopeful than confident, I would say, but I think we have a chance with the Celtic fans and stuff, and I would definitely start Haksabanovic or Maeda. I just don't rate him very much at all. He reminds me a lot of the guy that played for Scotland, Ollie Buck, with all the pace in the world, but just can't put a ball in the box.
Yeah, I'm not detecting. Again, I just live my footballing life through the callers and the tweeters to this show. I'm not detecting a lot of love right now for Maeda from Celtic fans.
Listen, you know what I've said many times, you know, since he went to the team, that he's not a natural finisher. That's not his role. His role was that he works very hard for the team. He puts other team players under pressure. He suits the style that the manager wants to play by the way he presses, and he forces teams into mistakes, and other players maybe capitalise on that. So he's maybe one of those players that the team appreciate maybe a little bit more than the fans. But he seems to be a guy that you know, the Ange Postecoglou has a lot of faith in. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does play. I know what Roger's saying, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy that gets a nod if Jota is missing.
It's funny, Jim, as well. You go back to his debut against Hibs after the winter break in January. He looked like a natural goal scorer all that night, and you can see, you know, obviously that's not his role, but he does have an important role to play in the team. And the point you make, I thought Simakin was at a terrific performance, a right back bombing on last week. Maybe Maeda is best placed to try and cut that out at source, if you like.
Alright, Andrew, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Hopefully we've not ruined it too much. A good win for Jim Duffy on Beat the Pundit there. Andrew, though, he called in, he spoke to the panel, even though it was Beat the Pundit, so he too goes into the draw for the tickets to the women's game tomorrow night. We'll look at that in a bit more detail later on this hour, because it is going to be hopefully a very successful night, but certainly a big one either way. Let's quickly pick up on something the guys were talking about with Matthew in Coat Bridge. What's, I think one of the guys maybe floated this at Matthew. What's your suggestion if Jota is out?
Well, if Jota was out, I didn't know. Like, I just, you know, you guys, maybe I'm going ultra attacking and playing Kyogo on the left instead of me either playing Justin Matthews in the mid. And then, I don't know, maybe whoever wants on the right and then wherever in midfield. But I was just thinking maybe he goes ultra-attacking and maybe just plays Kyogo on the left instead of Maeda.
Yeah, yeah. The one time I can remember, I think everyone that sticks out, was when he played Kyogo off the left against Rangers. Now, this was way back. It was Odson Edouard, for goodness sake, that played through the middle. And it was a very different Celtic team then. But Ange Postecoglou did say that day it was a mistake. He admitted it. Because they've evolved and a bit further on, is it more likely that he would do that again?
I think it's a different game. The team has evolved. You're another year and a bit on probably from that game. I think Kyogo can fulfil that role. And it's a bit like Rangers fans talking about, you know, Morelos and Colak together. I think there's a sense of intrigue among Rangers fans about what it would look like for Colak, Morelos to play together, Gordon. And I think Matthew's right. I think there's a sense of intrigue now among a lot of Celtic supporters, what it would look like, Giakoumakis and Kyogo playing together. Kyogo's been superb in his Celtic career, but a lot of Celtic fans will tell you, I think goals per minute, does Giakoumakis not exceed him?
Is this, we're having a lot of debates about, can Colak and Morelos play together? Mm-hmm. Most of the pundits say no. Is this a bit different as Kyogo's, just stylistically, not saying who's better or worse or whatever, but just stylistically, is this combination more likely?
Well, first of all, I think they can play together. That's the other thing for the two strikers.
There we go, I'll add you to the list then.
Provided you work on it in the training, that's it. You work with twin strikers. It's not the most complicated system to work. But most top clubs now prefer the extra man in midfield. That's what it boils down to. As far as Celtic's concerned, yeah, Kyogo could probably play it there. I don't think he will. I think he's obviously much better playing on the shoulder of defenders. But Giakoumakis, as I said, is a terrific alternative for Celtic, and I think that's the decision that the manager will have to make. If Jota's not fit, you know, listen, he's got James Forrest, he's got Abada, he's got Maeda, he's got Haps Ivanovic, he's got plenty of options if he wants to go down that route. I think Taylor will come back in, I think, is left back.
Yeah, Bernabeu did well at the weekend, didn't
he? But I think Taylor's been, again, one of Celtic's top performers this season. I think he deserves to be in the team, and I think he will be in the team. So, you know, listen, it's one of those ones, but, you know, hear Matthew there saying, you know, throw everything at it, throw the kitchen sink, and it'll go with all guns blazing, take a real risk. But I think you're then going to be, you'll be very disrespectful to Leipzig. Yeah, Leipzig, I think they're a better team this year than they were last year. I think their top players, as we mentioned, in Kunku in particular, and Silva.
Or maybe right now.
I think they're playing better.
They weren't at the start of this season. No, they weren't. I don't know, is the manager giving them
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Listen, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have fancied Celtic all day long. But with Marco Rose taking over, he changed the system slightly. The fans have got behind him. There's a now confidence and belief in the players. So I think you've got to be respectful. As I've said, their biggest strength is their attacking prowess. You can't just go and leave all that space for those players to exploit, because they will exploit it.
I mean, Matthew, on this show at the weekend, Giakoumakis was getting a little bit of criticism for his all-round performance. Some of the guys felt it wasn't his best day, but then he pops up with a winner. So is that sometimes, you know, enough to give him a real boost and maybe send him into this one in a good place?
The only reason I brought it up is because obviously Jota was a doubt. I mean, I think it's going to be Jota. I was just thinking, Maeda's not really playing fantastically better than that. And I was just thinking the other option. And I thought, and all out attack, like, why not Kyogo and Giakoumakis and that?
Listen, it's as good a suggestion as any, and we find out tomorrow. Thank you for taking the time, Matthew. Much appreciated. You go into the draw for those women's tickets tomorrow as well. Speaking of people who did or did not do well at the weekend. It's Roger Hannah's turn in the hot seat. His team of the week is up there on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Twitter at Clyde SSB, doing that every week this year. Thanks to Clyde Built Home Improvements, who are giving you the chance to win a current or retro football kit of your choice if you head to ClydeOne.com. Any controversial ones?
I don't think so.
No. Give us a flavour.
Producer Callum and Mark Wilson will be very happy because there is a sprinkling of Dundee United players in there.
Understandable.
I think the main source of stick I was getting on social media earlier was the omission of Fashion Sakala.
Overlooked. Right, anyway, Ricky is a Rangers fan. He's got some thoughts ahead of the Champions League this week, and we'll speak to him right after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Jim Duffy are here. Very quickly, I'll set up this teaser and then we'll bring in Ricky, who's a Rangers fan who's been hanging on for ages. I must admit, it's a brutal question as well. Absolutely brutal. Martin Burns sent this one in. Right, can you name the last 10 players who've started for a winning team in the Scottish Cup final and they've beaten one of their former teams to win the match? Wow. I think once you start seeing them. So can you name the last 10 players have started for the winning team in a Scottish Cup final, but they've beaten one of their former teams to win the game? So Craig Gordon is a sort of, it's wrong, but I can at least see your thinking. He was the opposite way, wasn't he? Played for Hearts.
He played the losing team.
Lee Griffiths?
No.
No.
Right, let's go.
Darren McGregor?
Yes. Show me you're working.
Yeah. Oh, Hibs and Rangers.
Exactly. Yeah. Played in the final for Hibs, and it was against Rangers, who he used to play for. I did not. No offence to Jim. I thought you would have been straight out of the traps.
What do you mean, no offence? It's very offensive.
But he's, that was terribly offensive.
Condescending as well.
I thought so.
Okay, well, here's your choice.
Listen, John McLaughlin.
I'm deflated.
Here's your choice. Do you want to be known as much of an anorak as this guy? Because we can arrange that.
You've given it with one hand, you're taking
nobody
it
wants to be an anorak like this guy.
John McLaughlin.
Look at him redeeming himself over there. Well done. Right, we'll get the rest as the show goes on. But Ricky has been hanging on for ages. Ricky, sorry. What are you thinking about Champions League this week?
I've been hanging on that long. My arms are killing me. I just wanted to speak to the panel. Basically, what I think is, I think Rangers are showing mere fear. And they're showing more fear, more respect to Liverpool than they are Napoli. When Napoli are the team that are punishing everybody. We played Napoli, we went toe to toe with them, we took penalties, took a red card for the game to change. But then we go and play Liverpool and we just park the bus. And I just think, what's going on here? If Rangers go and play Liverpool the way they played Napoli, it'd be a total different outcome.
I quite like that comparison, you know. Fair enough, Rangers haven't gone to Rome yet the way that they went to Rome, to Naples. I've done a Gordon Dale there. The way that they the way that they have to Liverpool.
No disrespect to Gordon, of course.
Of course. But Ricky is right. Whether Rangers won the game or not, we know they didn't. We know the penalties, red card. Rangers didn't play like they were fearing Napoli that night, did they? Is it maybe worth adopting that approach against Liverpool? Are Napoli better than Liverpool just now?
Yeah, I mean, right this moment in time, of course. I mean, they absolutely hammered Liverpool, but also I think the fact is that Ibrox is Rangers are a different team entirely. I just think mentality, belief, you know, the fans behind them, the atmosphere, everything. Ricky, I think that's part of the reason. I think if Rangers go away to Napoli and the next game, I think that they will be a bit more conservative, that's for sure. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, at Ibrox against, it doesn't matter how you look at Liverpool, they are fragile. There's no doubt about it. They've got to take the game. They've got to give everything. What's the point of sitting back and, you know, as you say, being conservative, parting the bus and then losing? You look at Liverpool's team and there's very, very few of them playing anywhere near. I mean, Mohamed Salah was substituted yesterday, looked very moody about it, but he's not playing anywhere near his best. You could go right through the Liverpool team. There's very, very few of them. So, yeah, listen, give it a go. I mean, go out with all guns blazing if you're going to go out, but, you know, make sure that, you put Liverpool... you ask questions of them, which didn't happen at Anfield.
I mean, Napoli have been a joke in their group so far, Roger. The amount of goals they're scoring.
I think they won 6-1 yesterday as well, didn't they?
4-1, but
what was it?
But 6 against Ajax midweek.
Oh, 6 against Ajax.
So
right,
you know, of the three opponents so far, Rangers have conceded the fewest. I'm not saying that's much of a trophy to win, but they're absolutely flying. So you know, are Liverpool now quite clearly the second best team in that group, rather than maybe the way people would have envisaged when it was drawn.
Yeah, Napoli look head and shoulders above anything. You could see that from match day one, the way they dealt with Liverpool over there in the Diego Maradona Stadium. They will win the group. Liverpool will believe they will go through as a second place team. To do that, they might need something at Ibrox on Wednesday night. But I think these two home games against Liverpool and Ajax offer Rangers an opportunity at redemption in this group. Haven't scored a goal so far. They've conceded 9. If you'd said that to Rangers fans at the start of the group, they would be disappointed at the results so far. But there's a chance there, you know, to restore a bit of pride. Home to Liverpool, home to Ajax. Yes, it'll be difficult in Naples. Of course it will. But I think Rangers in the second half of this campaign can look better than they did in the first.
That said, Ricky, you could still see, you know, how difficult Liverpool where last week, could you not, or is it totally different because it's Ibrox? Where are you getting the encouragement from?
No, definitely. There's no taking anything away from Liverpool. They're a world class team. They're second best in Europe. I just think in current form, Napoli are the better team, and we're showing Liverpool more fear and more respect than we are Napoli when they're destroying everybody.
Yeah,
it was a whole group. We basically walked away with the best result. As bad as it was, we still walked away better than everybody else.
I can just imagine a debate brewing over whether a 4-1 defeat or a 3-0 defeat was better. Let's not do that to ourselves.
Think performance. I think Rangers did put up a decent performance at home. But again,
Ricky says there was the penalty. The red card.
Ibrox is. Changes the aspect of how you approach the game, and I think that's the difference between Rangers going down to Anfield and being at home to Napoli. But I agree 100% with Ricky. Napoli are the surprise package. There's no doubt. You pick your maybe top 5-6 teams in the Champions League, and then you throw Napoli in amongst them this year.
Absolutely.
Because they have been exceptional.
Yeah, even Serie A as well, you know, flying. We mentioned the 4-1 at the weekend.
Away to Cremonese.
Cremonese. Jack Hendry, that's obviously where they went wrong. Where is he, by the way? He doesn't play, he just turns up for Scotland and does great things.
Well, long may it continue.
Yeah, I don't think he was even on the bench yesterday. Maybe he's injured or something, I don't know. Anyway, we're off on a tangent. Thank you, Ricky. Do enjoy the game when it comes around. Any more on that teaser then? Players that have started in the last 10 to start in the Scottish Cup final and win it against their former team. So like John McLaughlin, most recently Darren McGregor,
Greg Taylor.
No, Celtic never beat Kilmarnock in a Scottish Cup final.
What with David Wotherspoon last year, St Johnson against Hibs?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
David Weir, Rangers against Falkirk.
Oh, wow. Now we're going back. Well done. Yep, okay, we'll leave it there. We'll get the rest as the show goes on. By the way, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's just your email address there if you want to send a question in, like Martin Burns has done tonight. Please do send it there, fulltime. Mikey Burns, I'm going to be in trouble. It's Mikey. I've just double-checked the email. Sorry, Mikey. I've even changed your name. So Mikey Burns with that question there. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Like we mentioned, it came up briefly earlier on, and then I just spotted another link when we were talking about Napoli and the players that they have and the players that are flying. What about this group that Scotland got drawn in, Roger Hannah? Could it have been much worse?
No, it could not. Spain are as good as any of the big European superpowers. They've shown it by winning their group in the Nations League. They're going to the Nations League finals next summer. From the back, where they could pick 3 or 4 world-class goalkeepers, right the way through the team to Morata at centre-forward, they will provide a formidable opponent to Scotland. Norway, now, everyone talks about Erling Haaland, and so they should. He's the best striker in the world at the minute. But, you know, Jim Duffy was mentioned when we came in, Martin Odegaard.
Captain of Arsenal.
Looked okay for Arsenal against Liverpool yesterday, didn't he? And then my old pal Christopher Ayer. Mohamed El Yunusi, you look through a team, they've got some decent players. We talked about Napoli there when Ricky phoned. The unpronounceable Napoli winger who you know, has been terrorising Group A of the
How
Champions
good is he,
League.
By the way,
a fantastic player.
I really would prefer not and for Scotland to not.
He's
face
in
him.
The Georgian team, mm-hmm. And then when you think things can't get any worse,
Kvaratskhelia, is that how you would go for it?
Yeah, the first name out the hat, and what's supposed to be the diddy pot, Gibraltar. You think great, we'll get Gibraltar. We'll get six or seven off them, Jim, and they can't go into our group because they're not allowed to play Spain. Yeah. So they get papped to another group, and then we get Cyprus who are full of the players that Neil Lennon fielded against Man United last week and only lost 3-2.
I mean, Jim, in pot one, you could have maybe got Switzerland, Poland, Hungary, even Denmark, very good, but we still, we beat them at Hampden last time. You know, you get Spain, right? Okay, we were pot two, which is meant to be good. We're meant to have, that's meant to have helped this Nations League thing. Again, you look through.
No, if you're Scotland, it doesn't.
You look through pot three, you could have got Albania, you could have got Armenia, you could have got, I think, Romania, but no, Erling Haaland is going to be rocking up at Hampden. And again, that sort of continued for all the pots, didn't it? You know, pot four has got some properly weak teams in it.
Well, thankfully, we've got the backup of a playoff. But, no, listen, I think the one thing you will say, Gordon, is that, you know, bringing Haaland to Hampden and the Spanish team to Haaland, these are Hollywood fixtures. Yeah, these are fixtures.
Good for the ticket sales.
But, yeah, exactly. They won't need to try and sell those games. They will be absolutely sold out. The atmosphere will be electric in these type of games. You know, all the young supporters all around the country. And I think that's, again, because it encourages young fans, because they'll look at Erling Haaland and say, I want to see him in the flesh. So they'll all want tickets.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think it'll create, a new breed of supporter for the next campaign. So I think that's good, because you need things like that in football. You need superstars that light up the game. And Haaland's the
I'll
one
remind
just
you that when he rattles in his fourth.
Yeah, of course. Listen, you've got him and you've got Mbappe at France. So these are the two young, you know, new guys that are taking over from Ronaldo and Messi and Lewandowski.
Look, the good thing about it is, Roger, that Ryan Porteous is a much better player than when he faced Erling Haaland for Hibs against Molde a few years ago in Europe. So if there's one man to stop him, he's the new.
Well, listen, he's been player of the week for the last 2 weeks in here, and we discussed the top performer at the weekend. If he keeps going like this, maybe, you know, the super scoreboard in Oslo might be saying, oh, Haaland will have his work cut out against that lad for Hibs.
I mean, I don't know, positive spin maybe that, you know, Norway are pot three for a reason, but yeah, certainly could have been more generous.
I'll give you an example. Serbia, pot two. They came out with Hungary and Montenegro.
Exactly.
We came out with Spain and Erling Haaland.
I don't know who we've upset. Stephen is in Cambuslang. What did you make of that yesterday, Stephen?
Obviously, you look at the draw on paper, right, and it isn't ideal. But I just think that the momentum that we're gaining for the Nations League, how we're playing at the minute, we should relish these games. I know they've got Erling Haaland and Martin Odegaard in Norway, but they're not qualified for the World Cup. I know Haaland's had an injury there, but Norway aren't going to create the chances that Man City would for an Erling Haaland. So it's games that we can relish, games that we can look forward to, and a good tester for ourselves. Playing in a great team, they've got the likes of Pedri and other players that can hurt us, but I don't think they have that wonder kid that's going to terrorise us, and I think there'll be other top seed teams that we could have got that were a lot worse than Spain.
Well, I like the positivity. For all we know, on Norway's version of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, they're fearing Lyndon Dykes tonight, Roger. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, we know, got a couple of goals last week for QPR
against Alex Ray's Reading.
Yeah, right, up top of the championship table. He's going well, you know. Oddly enough, it might have been those two goals he scored off the bench against Ukraine. It looks to have kick-started his season. So the more Scotland players we have scoring goals, the better, I would think.
Yeah, I think Harling's record for Norway is not too bad as well. I think Disney actually struggle for scoring goals,
take Stephen's point, though, to an extent, in the sense that, look, we're just off the Nations League, and if Stephen's talking about us gaining momentum, Norway were in Group B4. They finished second to Serbia, 3 points. So Erling Haaland is wonderful. And yeah, we can play this back if he does come and embarrass us. But it does take more than that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a team game. You know, as Stephen said, you know, they have to create the chances. If you can stop it at source, doesn't matter how good a player is, that's what you've got to do. You've got to stop the supply. You know, if he does get supply, he will score. That, there's no doubt about that. But if you can stop the supply, then fine. And I'm sure Steve Clark's been terrific tactically in the vast majority of games he's been the manager of Scotland. So I'm sure that'll be the plan. But, you know, the important thing is that we're in a good vein of form. The players, you know, collectively, as we approach these type of games, they're a bit a way off. Obviously, we're going to have a World Cup coming up, you know, all these sort of things. But, you know, Scotland did what they had to do in the last few games. And, you know, as I said, I think it just takes the pressure off them a little bit by having that back up, that they know they do have the playoff, you know, there for them. If it doesn't quite click, Gordon, hopefully it does. But, you know, I just think they're terrific games. I think they're terrific games to look forward to. And as a footballer, if you're Jack Henry, if you're Ryan Porteous, if, you know, yeah, any of these type of guys, with Grant Haaland, you want to play against Erling Haaland. That is something you tell your grandkids about. Mm.
See, that is the difference. That's why this guy was one of the top centre-backs in his day. Whereas I just think, no, I'd hate to play against him. Forget that. That doesn't sound like much fun. Stephen, I guess, yeah, the cushion, if you like, of that playoff spot, that's important now, more than ever.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. We can go and play these games a wee bit of a freedom, get Hampden bouncing. And listen, we can beat anybody at Hampden. I'm a firm believer in that. I think there's a feeling back about Hampden that's similar to the way it was when we had the likes of Italy and France in the group. It's feeling like a right fortress again. And like, momentum's only good for the team. What Steve Clark does really well is he keeps in the place of players there, and he has one or two. So the team know the way that we want to play now, and they're going out and they're delivering. I think the Ukraine game was massive for me because it allowed us to show the strength and depth that we have in our squad. We had a lot of players out that night, and we still came out with a result. And in previous times, Scotland haven't got the result in those games, or we fell at the last hurdle. And I think the catalyst for that was winning in Serbia, that penalty shootout. I think it's just giving the players real confidence for big games now.
Well, I hope you're right. Thank you, Stephen. Speaking of Hampden being bouncing, hopefully there is a big crowd in tomorrow night. We've Stephen's in the hat as well. In fact, everybody who called in tonight for that Scotland women's national team playoff against Republic of Ireland tomorrow. Let's hear from Pedro Martinez Losa, the manager. He says he's got full faith the team can progress. This is, I'm going to really try and earn my wage tonight and explain this quickly.
Well, I tell you what, you will be doing very well here. I'm going to hear this.
It is basically, never has a word done so much heavy lifting. Basically, when Scotland play Republic of Ireland, they also need Wales to beat Switzerland or Portugal to beat Iceland, but then replicate that margin of victory or better when Scotland play Republic of Ireland. Still with me?
So if they win 2-0, Scotland have to win 2 or 3 goals better.
So weirdly,
2 or 3 goal margin.
So Scotland want Wales to win, and they want Portugal to win, but just don't win too well. Mm-hmm. Okay, win on penalties, scrape by if you can, and as long as Scotland match that or better it against Republic of Ireland, they'll be off to the World Cup. There we go. And that bit sounds good. And the good thing, if you like, is both of those games will be done before Scotland play, so they'll know exactly what they need to do. Clear as mud. Here's what the manager thinks of it.
Good. Everyone healthy. Everyone prepared. We are happy to be together. Obviously, the result from the last match is giving us faith and energy and motivation that we already had, but more belief. So we are ready to go. It's a circumstance that it is like that. I think we are focusing on our match. It doesn't matter what the other games happens, knowing that there is a potential influence, but our options are based on winning our match, and that's what we are going to try to do.
Will you want to know what's happened in those other games, and will the players know before you run out?
Probably. We try to keep the information secret. It's not going to happen, so when the things are news are in your way, it's difficult to keep it. And when there are no news, that means also something. So I think, not that we are going to keep an eye on that at all, but at some point, if there's something that we can take in our advantage, of course we will transmit to the players, as we transmit a lot of other information.
Huge incentive, Roger. If that all pans out tomorrow night, Scotland women's team will be going to the World Cup. So it'll be a great night of celebration for those who go along. It's not all done if that sequence doesn't happen. They just have to go all the way to the other side of the world, Australia, New Zealand, and play a playoff, an extra playoff competition.
Yeah, you would think
it's an actual competition. It's not one team they just play home and away.
You'll be sorry you asked that.
It's a very Scottish way to qualify for a World Cup. I tend to think whatever the outcome of the results are tomorrow night, somehow Scotland will end up in New Zealand in this little competition to try and get through. Fingers crossed for Pedro and the team. With Lucy Graham on the show last Monday night, she was trying to explain it to us. It does seem very complicated, very convoluted. So let's just hope Scotland go out and get a better result than Wales or Portugal tomorrow night and get directly into the finals.
Mm-hmm. But you still want them to win. By the way, we will send people along, whoever's been calling in tonight, into the hat. We'll announce the winners for the tickets to that game after these, and more time to go over the weekend's talking points and the answers to the teaser as well. We're going to be busy.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where we try and squeeze in some more of your calls if we can. We talk more about the weekend's talking points, and most importantly for these pundits, they try and show off and see if they can come up with the answers to the full time teaser. Now the question is a cracker from Mikey Burns. He says, can you name the last 10 players who started for the winning team in a Scottish Cup final against one of their former teams? Which might sound tricky, but when you start hearing some of the answers, John McLaughlin, just the last final, started for Rangers and it was against Hearts. David Witherspoon did it for St Johnson against Hibs. In better news, Hibs fans, Darren McGregor did it against Rangers. Davy Weir, we're going way back, did it for Rangers against Falkirk in the 2009 final.
What about Scott Brown? Celtic against Hibs?
Yep. 2013 final. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the other Scott Bain.
No,
he's not one. I think Callum Booth.
Yeah, that same final, St Johnson against Hibs. There's one more from that game, you know.
Is it Glenn Middleton?
It is. So you've had to remember Glenn Middleton's loan spell at Hibs 2019. Well done. Three to get.
What about Neil McCann?
Yes.
Rangers against Hearts.
Wonderful.
No, Rangers against Dundee.
Rangers against Dundee, way back
to 2003.
That's exactly it.
There we go. Okay, two to get.
I didn't think it was that far back, to be honest with you. That was the thing.
That's the furthest back.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, but there's one in that era as well, and then there's one sort of midway. Okay, I'll give you time before.
What about Johnny Hayes?
No, he did. Funnily enough, did not.
He scored Aberdeen against Celtic, but lost, didn't he?
Ryan Jack?
Nope. So,
Didier Agat?
No. No.
Too far back?
Yeah. So, would have been a teammate of Didier Agat's at Celtic, I'll give you that. And then there's one more recently.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Who does that do you? What else we need to try and quickly. Think of what we've missed from the weekend loads, because 2 hours is never enough. Roger Hanna, when you look at the big wins, for a number of reasons, big on the scoreboard, big because they needed it, big because no one expected it. What about that Dundee United result? Are they going to campaign for all games to kick off at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night?
It was big because, as Jim Duffy saw, Ross County won at Livingston.
Yep.
And it was big because Kilmarnock then went on to take a point off Hearts when they could have taken all three. And had Dundee United lost that game against Aberdeen on Saturday evening, there have been 6 points adrift at the bottom of the league. It was a huge win for Liam Fox and his team. And you wonder now if it will help them kick on. They've got a game tomorrow night, a rearranged game against Hibs at Tannadice. They then go to Dingwall on Saturday. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, by then they could actually be above Ross County, I think, by the time they go there at the weekend. If not, they'll certainly have the opportunity to go above them with a win in the Highlands.
I mean, it'll teach me, Jim, because probably a week ago or around then, we asked a couple of times, you know, it actually already looked like the bottom three were getting a little bit detached, which sounds crazy so early in the season, and it turned out to be crazy, because all of a sudden, all it took was for Kilmarnock to beat St Johnson in the midweek, Ross County to win at the weekend, as we said. and Dundee United to obviously go and win emphatically, and that all three of them then have had that positive result, which has closed things up.
Listen, I think it's, I mean, if you look right throughout the league, you know, so many elements are very, very close, and just a couple of results can completely change the perspective for each team and each manager. As I said, Malcolm Mackay won at the weekend after having a resounding defeat at home to Motherwell. I mean, as Roger was saying there, Kilmarnock looked as if they were going to get back-to-back victories at last minute, but still took 4 points from six. And Dundee United's result, listen, Aberdeen, who had looked as at home, they're again a totally different team, but away from home, their away record's shocking.
Yeah.
And they were calamitous defending. I mean, horrendous defending away.
Two wins from 23 in the road, is that right? Yeah. Two wins at St Johnson.
Just like a totally different team away from Pittodrie. Yeah. And a huge Aberdeen support down there. I mean, they completely sold out their allocation, more than 4,000, I think, and taken down there, and to get beat as comprehensively, massive blow for Jimmy Goodwin.
Wonder if you look for early signs for that. Tony Watt goes to Dundee United. Lot said about the move. Clearly doesn't score as often as he would like. Then it's not a good start to the season. But the time at Motherwell maybe showed Jim that once he gets a couple, he's kind of always been that tight, bit of confidence and.
Well, Tony's actually a player. I've had him in the show. We know, like, he's a confident boy. You know, he likes the spotlight. When he's scoring goals, he's in the spotlight. I mean, even the other goal that they scored was very, very similar. Position, cut back, he shot. He's at the underside of the back and down. They've got the forward in, and then the goal was almost identical. But he's playing, I think he's playing through the middle now under Liam Fox the last couple of games. He's not playing the wide area. Mm. So he is going to get more chances. And listen, he's rising to the challenge. And well, listen, when Tony's up, on song, he's a terrific player.
All of a sudden, Roger, Hibs are the informed team in the league, more than anyone.
Yeah, four wins in the bounds, haven't they?
Celtic have got two league wins in a row. Rangers have got three in a row. Hibs have got four. Mm. They're flying.
Yeah, I saw them at Dingle a week past on Saturday. That was the first I'd seen them live this season. I have to say, I was very impressed with them. Not just Porteous. You know, they've got good players in the team. Martin Boyle, Joe Newell, Chris Cadden, you know, there is quality. I've been really impressed this season when I've seen him by young Josh Campbell, who I think's get five goals, you know, from that attacking midfield position. They've still got Kevin Nisbet to come back and Aidan McGeady to come back.
What a week we've got in store for you. We've got 11 o'clock shows tomorrow night and Wednesday night. Cannot wait.
Please tell me it's Daz and the Mushroom both nights.
It is not. We couldn't do that, Tim. I'll be here both nights, but Mark and Gordon, and then it's Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell on Wednesday. And it's going to be great. So make sure you tune in both those nights. We're hoping for some drama either way. You two better round off this teaser quickly. Ricky and Aunt Ricky in East End, Andrew from Carlisle, you're the winners of the tickets to go to Hampden for the women's national team game tomorrow. Stand by your phones. Well done to them.
Did he against teammate Jackie McNamara?
Yeah.
Against Inferlin.
Mm-hmm.
What about Anthony Stokes?
Stokes.
Easy as that.
That's the one.
Done. There we go. Mm-hmm. Right, join us tomorrow, why don't you, from 6 until 11 PM, no less. Who doesn't need 5 hours of Mark Wilson and Gordon DL in their lives at the weekend? Don't answer that. But anyway, they will be here. We're looking forward to it. Same again on Wednesday. Thank you to Jim and to Roger. Thank you for your calls, for your tweets, for your company tonight. Much appreciated as always. And I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Callum Gallagher. He's up next.